Hey, good morning and happy Sunday before Thanksgiving. It is so good to be with you here today. If you are newer to the West community, if you're worshiping with us for the first time, we would love to know that. If you'll text the word welcome to the number that you see on the screen, or I'll read the number to you if you're listening via podcast. The number is 704-343-8955, 704-343-8955. If you'll text the word welcome to that number, we would love to hear from you. We'd also love to hear this morning in the chat room any prayer concerns that you have. We have Dawn and Lindsay manning the chat room, and our pastor of congregational care, our pastoral care catalyst, Christy Dillon, she is praying for you, as are we as a staff. And so if you have anything that's heavy for you this morning, we'd love to know that so that we can lift you up in prayer. And, you know, here we are. It's the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and we are still in the middle of COVID, and in fact, it's going to be the weirdest Thanksgiving ever, I think, for us as a world. I talked with one of my great aunts this week, and she's 80, and despite the fact that she lives in a town with all of her, or a lot of her family, she will most likely spend Thanksgiving alone. And I know that there are many of you that for the first time ever, you're not going to be able to see your loved ones on Thanksgiving. And honestly, as you've shared those stories with me, my heart is heavy for you and for us as a people, where we are. And in fact, you know, I think the panic is increasing. Went to the other night, the staff were spending some time together, and I heard that there was no toilet paper, and I'm like, how can there not be toilet paper? Like, we've had toilet paper for months. This has not been a thing. And sure enough, I went to two grocery stores, and there were no paper products. I'm like, here we are again. Oh my gosh. And so this morning we're going to talk about being thankful. And have you ever heard that statement, an attitude of gratitude? Well, we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about how maybe that's not the best thing, and how we can move from attitude of gratitude to a lifestyle of gratefulness, and how we do that, especially in such trying and difficult times. So I'm glad that you have joined in this morning. I hope that it is a Sunday morning message that is meaningful for you and hopefully gives us something, some meat to hold on to metaphorically this Thanksgiving season. So stay tuned. As we begin this morning, I do want to say just a huge thank you to the worship team and the worship production crew and the volunteers that continue to show up here in this space on Sunday mornings. The fact that the worship team and the production staff, they spend so much time filming the music, and like they have to do the songs like six or seven times because like there can be no mistake, right? Like in the space, in the worship space, when a mistake happens, the energy in the room covers that. When you're filming it not so much. And so they do spend an inordinate amount of time trying to provide for you message through song and meaning through song, and music is such an important way that we connect with our faith. So I am so grateful to them and to all the West staff that continue to work so diligently to keep West afloat in the middle of a pandemic. Actually, we're pretty healthy as a church, as a faith community, and that's, you know, it's just shocking a little, but something that we are grateful for. We're talking about gratitude this morning, and we've got this statement that we hear, you know, have an attitude of gratitude. And I want to challenge us this morning to move past that, actually. So think about some of your Thanksgiving celebrations throughout your lifetime. I don't know if you ever had this. I did not until I got married because I was an only child. And so my family was always very small. There was no kiddie table at Thanksgiving. But once I got married and started going to Scott's extended family, I realized that, you know, there weren't enough seats for everyone around the table. And so we would joke that we were demoted to the kiddie table. Have you ever been in that situation, like, you know, all the adults are in one space and they're sitting around this big, like, nice fancy table with china and, you know, all this stuff, and then the kids got to sit at the kiddie table? At first, I was offended. I'm like, why do we have to sit at the kiddie table? We're adults. And then, you know, as time went by, I realized I liked the kiddie table. At the kiddie table, and actually after we graduated to the adult table, I wanted to go back to the kiddie table. And we used to, like, you know, argue over who got to sit at the kiddie table, because that was the fun place. That's where you talked about, you know, the toys you wanted for Christmas and the Black Friday sales and just fun stuff. When you graduated to the adult table, I had to learn to bite my tongue sometimes. And, you know, we had to navigate all those conversations, you know, about politics and you know, the economy and job stress and all this kind of stuff. The adult table was stressful and overwhelming at times. And there was just this lightheartedness and fun at the kiddie table. I want to tie that to our spirituality. Having an attitude of gratitude, that's a little bit like our spiritual lives resting at the kiddie table. And this morning, especially in the midst of this pandemic that just seems to be right now getting worse instead of better, I want us to look at our lives and think about not having an attitude of gratitude, but about having a lifestyle and a life of gratefulness. When we move to the adult table, we face things that are difficult and are challenging. It is easy, so easy, when everything's going good and life's just clipping along, to be grateful, right? That we've talked over the past, if you've been worshiping with us for a while, we've talked in the past about Project Happiness, and if we'd keep a gratitude journal, then, you know, if we could, at the end of the day, go and jot down a few things for which we are grateful. And it's easy to do that. It's easy to have an attitude of gratitude when life is easy, but it is not easy to have a lifestyle marked with gratefulness when it just seems like the circumstances are so big and so foreboding that it's hard to get a handle on them. And so this morning in our time together, I wanted us to think about this change that we could all take a step deeper in. Whether you're already there and you feel like you have a lifestyle that's marked by gratitude or not, we could all grow deeper in our spirituality and grow deeper in being grateful. So I want us to look at the how. You know, it's one thing to say, do it. You know, like, okay, you know, be grateful in all things. It's one thing to say do it, but it's another thing to know how. And there's just this powerful story in Scripture, that in the Hebrew Scriptures, that this, it gives us this picture of this young man, and we've talked about him on and off over the last several months. His name is David. He starts out as a shepherd boy. He is like the runt of the litter, and he's the one that nobody thinks will amount to any greatness as far as military might. And back then, that was a huge mark of someone's abilities and character, were how strong they were, especially if they were men. And so David David just did not come across as someone that they were going to choose to lead them. And actually, that is the very one that was chosen. So he's this young shepherd boy. He's chosen to go fight the mighty giant. He does. He wins. And then he goes and he is chosen to be like the king's right hand. He works with the king. He does amazing things. And then the king gets really jealous. And so then the king, because he has a little, his name was Saul, has a little narcissism going on. He wants to kill David. David has to go hide. The king's son is David's best friend and protects him. And then ultimately David becomes king. The people love him and they worship him. And I don't know if you ever checked out our Amped, our children's worship that's online, Amped, but we've redone that. And we had a great story a few weeks ago about David and it shows that. So check that out sometime. But David, like, he becomes king and he leads the people to victory. He even dances naked in the streets because he's so excited and he wants to give praise to God because he knows that in all things, God is with us and gives us what we need. So after he conquers the enemy in battle, he gives thanks and praise and leads the people in praising God. But throughout David's life, he was marked with dysfunction. His family was a little dysfunctional, and aren't all of our families just a little dysfunctional? And so David's got this dysfunction going on, and he makes some bad decisions. He is led by his sexual desires to woo a lady that he sees sunbathing across the way, and they are intimate together, and then she is great with child, and he ends up getting her husband killed in battle. I mean, he was a little messed up too, but he goes on. I mean, he's still this great king, right? So it's a beautiful story of how we can be messed up in ourselves and God still uses us and God still loves us. But in all of this, I mean, David just has these ups and these downs, but David was not marked by an attitude of gratitude. David was actually marked by a lifestyle of gratefulness because David knew that in all things and through all things, where he needed to keep his eyes and where he needed to keep his focus was on God. So that even when he would mess up and even when he would make some pretty significant mistakes, what he needed to do at the end of the day was to keep his eyes fixed straight ahead, to keep his focus on God. And that's where he moved from an attitude of gratitude to a lifestyle of gratefulness. The passage of scripture that I'm going to share with us this morning may be familiar to you, whether you've been a part of church all your life or not. Odds are you've heard this passage read at a celebration of life service. And so this morning, as we prepare for Thanksgiving, and as we prepare for a Thanksgiving that is unprecedented, as you heard in the video that started worship this morning, I want us to have some words to hold on to. Like I said, it's easy to just say, oh, just go do it. Just go be grateful. But we have to find out how. Because there are times and seasons in our lives where gratitude and gratefulness is so hard to come by. And it just feels like empty words. Oh, go be grateful. Go be grateful that you get to spend Thanksgiving alone this year. Go be grateful that you're not going to see your parents and you've spent every Thanksgiving with them for so many years. Go be grateful that your finances are in peril because you don't know when you're going to be able to go back to work or when your salary is going to return to what it used to be. Go be grateful for your health challenges and uncertainties in the future. Go be grateful. Those are empty words unless we can understand how. And this picture that we have in Scripture of this young boy that grows into this powerful king and makes mistakes and screws up, but God's still with him all the way. It's a beautiful story. So I want you to take a look at the words that are on the screen, and we're going to figure out how it is that we become grateful. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. When I first moved to Mooresville, gosh, 18 years ago, when I was the pastor of congregational care at Williamson's Chapel, one of my jobs was to visit all the shut-ins in the nursing homes and to visit them every month. There was a lady who had been just a pivotal part in the life of the church for so long, and she found herself nearing the end of life in this realm and moving on to life eternal. And she had no children. Her husband had died years and years before. So as she was moving from this life to the next, she was alone a good deal of the time. There was one afternoon in particular that I went to visit her, and the nursing home staff shared that they had seen a turn in her health and that she was no longer conscious, and she had not been responsive to words for days. They asked me if I would have a prayer with her that might help her move from this realm to life everlasting. This was 18 years ago, so gosh, I was in my early 30s. I'd never done anything like this before. I was new to this role, new to ordination in ministry. And so as I stood beside her bed, I didn't really have the right words, or I didn't think I had the right words to say. I just began to pray and ended up kneeling beside her bed and laying my hand on hers. There was no response, no movement. And I thought, okay, I have no idea if she's going to hear anything that I say right now or not, but I'm just going to pray. We believe, right, that the Holy Spirit's present in our times of prayer and in present in all situations. So surely the Spirit would guide my words. I offered some words, hopefully, of comfort, and something just reminded me in my brain, maybe close out this prayer with Scripture. And so after I prayed and prayed that God would receive her presence into God's eternal Spirit, I started with, "The Lord is my shepherd." Those are all the words I got out of my mouth. And then she said, "And I shall not want." That's how we move from the kiddie table to the adult table. David, the young shepherd boy who went through all the ups and downs of life and lived through some horrific things, the death of a baby, defeat, someone trying to kill him, mistakes that he made that cost others their lives. David, that young man who grew into this powerful king, he's the one who penned those words, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Those are the words that Mrs. Wally held on to somewhere deep within her soul, so as she was. And she ended up moving into Life Everlasting that afternoon, actually. But as we were praying together, something, somehow, somewhere, stirred in her enough that as she was in that transitional space, she knew that she wanted for nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. David writes those words after he writes the words that Jesus quoted on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? David penned those words too in Psalm 22. We don't talk a lot about Psalm 22. But I think it's just as powerful as the 23rd Psalm, because he's saying, how in the world, why in the world have you forsaken me? But then he goes on to say, the Lord is my shepherd. God, you are my shepherd, and I shall not want. This week, and in the days and weeks ahead, what if that becomes the phrase that we hold on to? What if we move from this attitude of gratitude into this lifestyle of gratefulness, knowing that we can be grateful in all things because God is our shepherd. God resides within us. There's this love and this peace that resides within us. We have to connect with it. We have to go to that sacred space and presence that's within us and hold on to it. And when we do, then we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God provides for us in and through all things. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Tech team, I wanted to ask you, could we pull the scripture back up on the screens? I want us to look at it again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now let's pay attention to what happens. God, they say he, but God's not a he, we know that. God makes me lie down in green pastures. Think about that for just a second. Green pastures for a sheep, that was a pretty special place. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters, because choppy waters would have frightened and overwhelmed the sheep. So he leads me beside and into safe and peaceful places. And God restores my soul. God leads me in right paths for God's name's sake. And then this next phrase is one of the most important phrases in this entire passage. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Thank you, tech team. We'll come back to the screens in just a minute and finish this. But I want us to talk about that passage for just a few minutes. The passage that we just saw. Even though. So I'm at the grown-up table now. And this is where we have to hold on to the even though. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. You do all these things for me and in me. You give me peace. And even though I walk through the valley. So God, even though my heart is breaking, God, even though I'm afraid of the future, God, even though I find myself in one of the darkest valleys I've ever faced, even though, God, I can't seem to make ends meet, even though I feel alone, even though I feel afraid, even though the world around me seems to be so chaotic and so unclear, and I am so uncertain, even though all those things, you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And then the next part that is also so beautiful. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Thank you, team, for the use of the scripture in the slides. So, this is what I want us to finish with today. You prepare a table before me and for me in the presence of my enemies, in the presence of my insecurity, in the presence of my vulnerability, in the presence of my pain, in the presence of all the things that seem to overwhelm me and overtake me. You prepare a table before me. So guess what that means, folks? It means that our lifestyle of gratefulness can happen because we know that God is our shepherd. God is going to provide for us. God is going to guide us. We have within us what we need to withstand even the darkest times. Because God is within us, God guides us, God's our shepherd, and we shall not want. Because even though we face all the difficult things, there's a table that is set with all that we need. And our enemies may be all around us. But we are given this picture and this promise that even though our enemies surround us, whether they are internal or external, when our enemies surround us, we are not alone. Because goodness and mercy of God will surround us all the days of our life. And we are given this promise that we can dwell in the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven here and now, not just in life eternal. It is here, it is ours for the taking. So this week, when you find yourself facing Thanksgiving in an unprecedented time and you are sad and wrestling with wishes and thoughts of how things could be. Remember, God is our shepherd and we shall not want. And even though things are really crappy, there's a table that is prepared for us. And that table is the most beautiful spread, the most beautiful banquet table. And it doesn't matter how many enemies are around us. God gives us and God provides for us. And God gives us the strength and the capability that we need to have what we need. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. A few weeks ago, I had the privilege of having lunch with one of my clergy colleagues. He is taking over the chair of the worship committee for annual conference, and I've never been more grateful to have lunch with somebody and pass on those responsibilities. It was fun being the chair of that, but it stretched my attention to detail to a whole new height. But I had this privilege of having lunch with him. It actually was the day before my 50th birthday. And he's like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. And he's like, so how do you feel about turning 50? I'm like, I don't really know. And honestly, that's why I haven't responded to anything on Facebook about my birthday. I'm not sure I've processed that I'm 50 yet. And I may not ever. But thank you for the Facebook wishes. Eventually, I will come tell you thank you personally. He was like, how do you feel? That's such a milestone. And I said, you know, if I had to tell you what I thought my life would look like at 50, this is not necessarily it. And he's like, is that a bad thing or a good thing? And I said, you know, one of the things that I've learned over the last couple of years is that in all things, God is at work. And in all things, if I will stop and look, I will find the opportunity to be grateful. And I wonder, like, do I have this attitude of gratitude that it's just when things are good and easy, or is my lifestyle marked by gratefulness? He's a great role model for me and for us. He and his wife, they're young. I'm not sure exactly how old they are. And he shared with me his blessing to use a little bit of their story today. He and his wife, they were expecting, I believe it was their first child. And they found out throughout the process of the 9 months that there were some health concerns and complications. They named him Joshua, a beautiful biblical name, I believe meaning bravery and courage, strength. And when Joshua was born, all the thoughts and fears and concerns, they were true. He was not well and was not going to live. And they knew that. I didn't know him at the time, but I knew Amy Coles, and Amy was his district superintendent at one point in their career, and so she had a very close relationship with them, so she went and she was a pastor for them during this time. And I remember one evening, Amy texted and shared that she was on her way back from baptizing Joshua with them in the hospital. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh. I mean, baptism is such a beautiful and sacred and happy time. I can't imagine what it would feel like to baptize your son, knowing that his time on earth would be so short and so limited. And I remember that evening, Amy sharing that with me and sharing with me that her heart was just so heavy. And I prayed for them. I prayed for Amy. I mean, I didn't know them, so it would have been, I felt like it would be weird to reach out, but I prayed for them. A few weeks ago, sitting across the table, we were sharing just a little bit of our stories with each other. I will never forget, ever. And he's actually motivation for my second half of a decade of life. Because he was sharing with me a little about their story and about Joshua's birth and death. And then his next phrase was, "I am so grateful for that experience." And I thought, wow. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. So it's not like he's had decades to heal from the pain. But he meant it. He said, you know, Joshua taught and teaches me about faith every single day. And I'm a better person and I'm a better pastor, having lived through that, I am so grateful. And I'm grateful for God for helping me find a way. I'd say that Justin's probably not at the kiddie table. Justin inspires me to be at the grown-up table. The Lord is my shepherd. And even in COVID-19, even in Thanksgiving of COVID-19, I shall not want, because we dwell in the house of goodness and mercy, and that house lies within each of us. We dwell there forever. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, you do show us that even though we're in the middle of just a bunch of stuff, it's icky and unclear. And some days it just is like, how in the world? you prepare a table for us. It's a beautiful table. And on that table is everything we could possibly ever want or need. How grateful we are to be called your children. And how grateful we are that patriarchs of our faith have gone before us and shown us that evil, even in the midst of chaos and dark and difficult times, we can say, you are our shepherd, and we don't need to want. Thank you for being an amazing, a loving, and a forgiving and grace-giving God. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So my Thanksgiving table will have some Diet Mountain Dew. I know that. And it does tend to provide me with the caffeine that I need to get through the day. I'm so grateful, seriously, like, for you. For the fact that you've hung in there throughout this pandemic. They were sharing with me, I never get to see like the screens while I'm preaching, obviously. And so they were sharing with me that like you can like hit a heart or something and like little hearts flutter up, and that you guys were doing that during the message today. And they shared that with me, and that means a lot. I am used to feeling the energy in the room. That's a really real thing. And so I miss you. I miss being together. We are so excited. Come hell or high water, we are having Christmas Eve worship. We believe that it's going to be in the parking lot. And we're so grateful Lake Norman is going to let us use the parking lot. You'll stay in your cars unless you like really want to brave the cold, and you can come sit like right in front of your car. We are really, 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 really going to social distance. So we're not going to encourage any kind of like sitting near each other. We don't know the time yet because we have to, of course, work out the electrical challenges that we're going to have. But we are going to be together, and we are going to have candlelight communion and do it safely in a new way. And so I'm so excited, and the staff are so excited that we get to be with you on Christmas Eve. We also have something really exciting coming up on Tuesday. We are going to drop a West Christmas playlist. And so we have the Apple Music platform, Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube Music, and you can look for West Christmas, and you are going to see about the music for Christmas. And so we're excited to share that with you. You're also going to get something in the mail, this week from us. So if you don't think we have your correct mail address, will you type it in the chat room? Or if you're not on our West mailings yet, would you type your address in the chat room or private message one of the staff or me and let us know? Because we want to do something creative for the upcoming Christmas season. We're calling it Unmasking Christmas, because even in the time where masks are so important and we really want to all wear our mask, there are some things that can be unmasked. And that's hope and peace and joy and love. So we're really excited about the upcoming message series that starts next Sunday. We also are so excited, and I wanted to say thank you to you, because your money to West matters. Like, I know we don't ever pass the offering plates, and our giving's predominantly online. Some people give with checks, but because you are still faithfully supporting the life of this church, first of all, we're all still gainfully employed, which is a big thing. And secondly, you paid for this Halloween extravaganza, trunk or treat, COVID style. And we had several hundred people show up. I mean, like, I don't know, 600-700. We served 500 hot dogs, and not everybody took a hot dog. So 700 people probably at least came to that. And we have relaunched Amped, as you heard me mention. And so we have new games and crafts, and there's just this team of people that are working on that. And we have 43 kids now that are signed up for the Amped mailing. And that's the most kids we've had on our mailing in, gosh, I don't know, probably 6 or 7 years. And I am so grateful for that. And that is made possible because you financially support this church. And so I wanted to say thank you. May we have a lifestyle of gratefulness, not just an attitude of gratitude. And may we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that even though there is darkness all around and the valleys seem really, really deep, that there is a table that is prepared for us in the presence of all of our enemies. And that table is set with everything we could possibly want or need. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Go in peace and happy Thanksgiving.